Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hello, Timur.
Hello.
Could you tell me about the work of the Ukrainian Deminer Association?
We are the biggest Ukrainian mine action operator. We work and cover like three pillars of mine action, which are, first of all, obviously humanitarian demining, but also we provided throughout Ukraine explosive ordnance risk education, and also we have a program for mine victim assistance. So, yeah, but now we are mostly concentrated on humanitarian demining.
For our listeners to understand what does the humanitarian demining means, it means demining in the areas where the active fighting is not taking place. Is that correct?
Yes, we cannot work like closer than 20 kilometers to front line. So we have like 20 kilometers buffer zone. But it's easy to explain because now makes sense to provide humanitarian demining on the territory which is still and under active shelling, which situation is dangerous. So the main difference between humanitarian demining and other demining is that humanitarian demining is not just like for demining, it's for land release process. So the result of humanitarian demining is back some territory, back some land to for using this guarantee of quality and safety.
I know you probably in every interview are asked, well, how big is the area that is mined and how long it will take to demine all the territory? I know that the situation is such that situation changes every day. And of course, you cannot know for sure how much mines are on in the land that is occupied right now. But if you have to give me a overall understanding about the problem of mines in Ukraine, what would be your best answer?
Ukraine is the most contaminated country around the world. World community never faced the same scale of contamination before in different other countries like Croatia, Bosnia, Cambodia, Colombia. So they never faced this scale. So that's why we are all together thinking how to solve this problem as quick as possible, as most effective as we can. But about focus, you also ask about focus. I really believe in a strategy of mine action, which was adopted the 28th of June 2024. We as a UDA, we also took part in working group to create this mine action strategy, which is really, really important document for our country and first of all for Ukrainians. And according to strategy, during the 10 years, we should back to, let me say, normal life, at least 80% of accessible territory. So territory where we have access and like be occupied, obviously, territory. Everything was good close to in the end of 2024, because as a country, as a deminers, as a operators, we had huge progress and we follow up with this strategy. But unfortunately, 2025 started very complicated year for us and we reduced our potential. And now I cannot say that like we are really follow up with our strategy.
So let's talk about the money. I think that's what you were trying to mention. How has the United States been involved in helping to finance your demining efforts? In Ukraine as such or your organization in particular?
Yes, you guess what I mean 100%. So yes, I am talking about the top work order, which was announced in January. In my country, it's difficult to say some precise number, but approximately 50% of humanitarian demining program was funded by State Department. It's very difficult to cover this by another donor. And now spring is became. So now we are back to clearance procedure. So because during the winter, we are mostly provided non-technical surveying, like first stage of humanitarian demining. But now the weather is fine and we can continue for clearance and provide clear square meters, let me say like this. But because this stop work order, we are started loose. When I say we, I am talking about Ukrainians. I'm not talking about just about my organization. I'm talking about all my nation stakeholders who work in Ukraine. So we already started losing our demineers because one of the powerful international NGO, they already fire approximately 150 like specialists of humanitarian demining. It's not only about demineers, it's also about some supervisor, quality control, GS officer. It's one thing. Another thing is that a lot of international operator and other like mine action operator, so they put it on like stood by the miners. What it means? So they are just like they're not working the field in the field, and they receive like a part of salary, but not daily allowances, not other like salary which usually pays them for field work, and they're waiting. And I know very well motivation of the miners. It's not people who just sit at home and waiting for something. They should feed, first of all, their family. They are not. They feel not comfortable to sit at home and just like, even if they receive some salary. So they anyway, they will try to find other job in different sphere. But for us, it means that we lose our potential because this is Ukrainian potential of humanitarian demining. This is the biggest threat for this. It cannot even replace by any innovation because the most important thing in humanitarian demining is the miners. It's people who by their hand provide square meters. When we are talking about the miners, it's not just like people who like certified to do their job. It's people with experience, and as big experience they have, as better experts they are. It's like a pilot, for example, to become first class pilot, you should have like more than 1,000 hours flight, you know, and the same with the miners. To be a very good expert for humanitarian demining, to work in very complicated sites, in very complicated region, you should have experience to work like many, many years. And we are now facing to lose such kind of experts.
You mentioned that the United States covered about 50% of all the money needed to do the demining operations in Ukraine. Can you talk about how much money that is?
It's, to me, difficult to answer because we should calculate the budget of all mine action operator, but obviously, the information. But, for example, one of the biggest project was funded by, I mean, humanitarian demining project was funded by State Department, where we also involved. It was like $91 million for 2023 and I think 2024, and probably something like this should be in 2025. It's quite huge program, I mean, from point of view of funding, because humanitarian demining, it's not cheap, it's expensive services. We should understand this.
Right. You said mostly the money came from the U.S. State Department, not like USAID programs that we have heard.
USAID program, they cover also some other activities relating to mine action. And for example, in my organization, in January, we are planning to launch very vital project for Ukrainians, which concentrated on mine victim assistance. But unfortunately, we are not signed any grant agreement with them. A lot of people still waiting, like in pending list, still waiting, you know, for help. Also, USAID partly cover some program relating to exposure ordnance risk education. And again, my organization also planning to have activities under USAID umbrella for exposure ordnance risk education. But yes, humanitarian demining covered by State Department.
How were you notified? How did you find out that the money from United States will stop?
Some part of our project, which belonged to funding of State Department, we received a notification from our partner because within this project work with our U.S. partner. If we are talking about USAID, we have not received any email, nothing. Even we have some deadline to send some extra document before signing of the agreement. And it was after the 21st of January we sent it, but we are not received any, like, even confirmation. Yes, receipt of your email. Probably good thing that we are not started yet. We said what it means. So I am not recruit people for this project, and I am not signed like grant agreement. So, and maybe that's why they just keep silence, because as far as I know, even official web page of USAID, it's not working now.
Was it a surprise for you?
Yes, for me it's really a surprise, because, you know, it's first of all, it's about people. And you cannot like just like say people for one day, oh, sorry, I don't receive, and I don't receive any money from some program, you should dismiss your job and say bye-bye. And it's what actually happened with people in Chernihiv, because a lot of them was just internally displaced people. They don't have any link with Chernihiv. So what it means, they just like rent the house there, you know, and when they lose their job, I don't believe that easy to them find the job in Chernihiv. It's not capital. It's not like where you easy to find. This is what surprised me, because it's about people. Anyway, you should have time, you know. For example, you should receive notification. Okay, stop work order is coming, but you have at least like 1 or 2 months to like relocate your project, reorientate your project, to speak with another donor to keep.
In this case, there was no prior notification. It was just the funding stops now.
At least for me, I not receive like something prior notification. I just receive it as a fact when I saw media and information in open sources.
Some would ask, can Ukrainian government solve this issue and find the funds for demining operations?
I don't believe that they just like can easy to them solve this issue, but at least they can put maximum efforts to do this. There are two solutions what we can see. First solution, at request waiver from USA, because, you know, there are some waiver for health and for program with directly related life and health of people. So, and actually humanitarian demining is process which is directly related to health and life of people. It's one since it's probably most complicated way. And second, it's addressed to some huge partner, huge donor who can cover, at least for this period, who can cover expenditure and just like to keep going all my national operator doing now under funding the State Department. So it possibly it can be European Union, it can be some UN agency, for example, UNDP.
Okay, we talk about the money lost, but if United States provided 50% of funding needed for demining operations, it means that 50% is still there. What does it mean in real life?
It's difficult to predict. What I see now, the same like we, like UDA, the same approach also use a lot of, first of all, international operator. They use crisis management now. What it means, so we reorientate our project, we put it, like split it in different like project funding by different donor. Some of them, even my organization, use like own costs. Like, for example, I have some reserve costs for organization development. Now I also put it just like for payment for salary of people's salary. So the most important things, how long it will take, you know? And if our measures which we are taking under crisis management help us at least just keep going, obviously, we are not talking about increase our capacity, which we are planning is the same as other mine action operator, but at least just like keep going. So hopefully it's not really impact in fact on our result. I mean, on contaminated territory and clear square meters. So we should back to this normal, let me say, funding as quick as possible, because every day we are losing and every day it's risk that people dismiss.
You said every day we're losing. What are you losing?
I mean, what we are losing, so instead of provide actively already clearance procedure, and every day we can provide square meter. And some demanders who still wait, not in my organization, but in other organization, just in standby. So it means they are not provide any square meters, you know, so they not work actually. And this is what we are losing. But the most important thing, obviously, it's health and life. And every day it can cost for someone life or health.
What would be your message to United States and maybe also to other allies like Latvia?
Humanitarian demining, it's not only about social economic recovery, which is obviously important, which is like crucial for us as Ukrainians. But the most important thing that's humanitarian demining, it's first of all about people's life and health. And if they consider this like what I'm saying now, so I think they can give a waiver. Humanitarian demining is a huge part of peace building. So obviously, when we are talking about peace building or peace deal, so we should talking about increased funding for humanitarian demining, because it's impossible to have peace building without humanitarian demining.
Thank you so much, Timur.
Yeah, thank you very much for your support. Yeah, and yeah, thank you for all Latvian people who support Ukraine. Thank you.
Tas bija Timurs Pistriuks, Ukrainas atmīnētāja asociācijas vadītājs, bet nu klausieties man sarunu ar Natāliju Voliku, Dostupno UA vai Dostupno UA, starptautisko projektu vadītāju. Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hello, Natalia.
Hi, Dīvs.
Tell me about the work of organization which is called Dostupno.
Dostupno UA, which is maybe translated as accessible UA, it's our Ukrainian NGO, which worked since 2015. And mostly our work connected to people with disabilities or people with reduced mobility. And we are working with architectural accessibility and wanted to create or transform spaces for being more friendly for everyone. And also we are working with people and providing some trainings, webinars, and so on about correct communication and how to help people and people with disabilities correctly in a proper way. So this is helpful for everyone, because we have sometimes situations when people are scared of someone who is on the wheelchair or any kind of visible disability, and they are just scared and ignoring these people. So we providing some knowledge and tools for everyone. They are not being scared. In every moment, they could help properly and effectively to everyone. And the third part, we also showed that being disabled, it's not end of the world, it's not the end of their lives. And we showed how people can live then, and also how could they realize themselves, and also trying to motivate disabled people as well.
Since the full-scale invasion, we know that the people with disabilities, because of the invasion, because of the war, have grown rapidly, I guess. And has the work of your organization followed that trend, that maybe you have become bigger and have taken up tasks that you did not perform before the full-scale invasion?
Yes, the amount of people with disabilities increasing a lot, and our government provided some statistics. The last one I saw from 2023, so they said that more than 3 million of Ukrainians have disabilities. So currently, on 2025, the amount of disabled people also increased, unfortunately. And also, we are talking not only about soldiers or veterans, but also the people who are suffering from Russian missile attacks and so on. So since 2022, our team not growing as much, but we face that people realized better why the accessibility and inclusivity is important. Because of that, we also received more applications from different regions, from businesses, from just social institutions, and they are asking us about how to make their spaces more accessible, how to teach people to be friendly, to understand some needs, especially of disabled people. We also transformed our work to these needs.
Your main area of responsibility at the Dostupno UA is working with grant projects, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
How has United States supported your work until beginning of this year?
In 2024, we won the grant from the embassy of the United States, and they gave us grant money for helping, for providing strategy documents for different Ukrainian regions along whole Ukraine. And we were helping these regions to understand their needs, and provided also information and tools and actual measurements of architectural of the changes that they need to make through the architectural parameters. And in 2025, we also wanted to continue this project. And actually, in February 2025, it will be the lastest part of this pilot project. And then with these documents and understanding and budgeting, we wanted to help them to find the grants for the proper implementation, making additional stuff as not only architectural accessibility, but changing their website for being more accessible for people with visual impairments, or making some changes with road safety. In January 2025, we won another grant from National Democratic Institute, which is a part of USAID, if I'm not mistaken. And we thought that we could start this project in February 2025, but unfortunately it didn't happen.
What kind of project was that?
It saw it as a continue of this our main project of working with regions, and we wanted to continue our work with more cities or small hromadas, towns, and so on. And we wanted to select additional ones and made another documents for them, showing their needs.
I read on Radio Free Europe an article from a month ago in which it said that your organization is unable to pay staff salaries.
Mm-hmm.
What is the situation now, and how could that be if United States supported just one of your projects?
Besides of these grant programs, we also worked with businesses. So we have our Bureau of Accessibility. So time to time, we helped some businesses, private ones, for creating their spaces more accessible. And they paid us for this service. And since this US announcement, we decided that we need to work more with businesses on and through this bureau. And this is our opportunity to at least have some amount of money to keep our team, to keep our team together, and so they could be able to live somehow. Yeah, we came to businesses with whom we had a partnership before, and also gave some advertisement, and also wrote to those businesses with whom we wanted to work, and somehow it was and still functioning, but the amount of money for covering not only the salary for our team, but for the experts doesn't cover by this work.
So I probably should ask my question a little bit differently, because when you say, well, you had this one grant from which you won from the U.S. embassy in Ukraine, then I imagine that it must be quite a big project and quite a lot of money. If this one project goes away, you already have problems with paying salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
If we look at, let's say, yearly budget, how much of the budget is made from the support from United States?
I'm not the account manager, but I think it's around 70%. So it's completely over the half of our total budget. So yeah, it's a lot.
And you said that this project with the U.S. Embassy, it took place in 2024, so last year, right?
It started in June. We expected the end of this project in June 2025. So it's half of a year we spent, and half of this year it should be continued.
How did the Stupno UA work before the summer of 2024, when you got this big grant from United States? I mean, you said you worked from 2015. So was your team smaller and it became bigger, and now it's very hard to support the team now after this grant money has been lost? Or what's the situation in that sense?
I can speak about the situation since full-scale invasion, so 2022. So since that time, our team not growing so much. We still have four core people who are engaged in the processes of the Stupno, of trainings and audits and so on. And since 2022, we had a few projects with Great Britain, with I think GIZ, but I may can be mistaken. Yeah, through that time, we had at least three grant programs, and that helped us to continue our work and also to share information and made some social campaigns and publishing information through the social media. But this grant from U.S. Embassy, it was our, I think, biggest grant because it was our opportunity to create something more important for the people who are living in the regions.
Let me ask about the moment when you found out about losing the grant money. How was that done?
We received the mail from our grant officer.
At the embassy, yeah?
Yeah. It said that the U.S. For their whole grant programs for almost everyone for this prison, their grant support for 90 days. And that's all. So we were shocked. It was on Friday evening. And then the weekend and the next whole week, we worked and tried to figure out what can we do, what should we do. And the main question was, how can we pay our experts and people who were engaged to our project and for whom we need to pay, because it was the end of the January and, you know, all the payments needed to be provided. And it was a tough situation. We had a lot of challenges.
What was the system of payments? Did you receive payments like monthly from US, or was it in some packages? And you, if it was end of the January, did you expect the money to come in at the end of the January or beginning of February, so you could pay the your experts and your own salaries?
So actually, we received money from the packages, and it was three packages through the year. Actually, at the beginning of the February, we expected the third one, the last one amount of money for this project, and it was not at the this news was not at the right time, because 1 week and we received the grant money that are expected to be received, but you know.
Right. So month and a half has passed since the announcement of stopping the international aid by the United States. Have you come to terms with this decision? Do you still hope to receive the money, or you are looking for different sources of income, or have you just stopped the projects you were talking about and moving on forward? You're going to just do the same what you did before this big US grant money came and you started the project?
Of course, we are wanted to and we are hoping for the best, and after this 90 days the grant money will be available for us, but at the same time we are watching news and the processes which are going on in US, and it will be silly not to doing everything. So we actually, as I said, begin to work with businesses more actively. And at the same time, we also more actively started to search different grants from EU or from Great Britain as well. And we are preparing some applications for these grants. If the money from US will be unfreezing, it's a great news. Both of situations, so if we won some new grants and the money from US will be unfreezed, so it just gave us a lot of opportunities of our development and providing our work for more Ukraine regions. But as we see, this situation is more unlikely, so we are continue to work with grant applications with businesses, and to be honest, we have a very good team which is worked at some parts on as a volunteers. Now we are engaged in these processes, and we understand that for now we haven't received money, but it financing since stopped, but the need of accessibility and inclusivity doesn't stop, and we need to provide this information, provide activity, and provide knowledge as well as we can in this situation, and we totally understand the importance for society of our work.
Has your team at any point since the freezing of US help, has your team discussed closing the Stupno UA, stopping its work entirely?
Of course we discussed, but then we realized that it's not the that time yet, that when we can close our organization. We are doing our best for prevent it. So, yeah, we are creating the content. We are working as much as we can. We're still providing trainings. And to be honest, more companies like and also the structures of government came to us for advices. So we understand that we, through these 10 years, we have worked on our reputation for our expertise, and also the opportunities and knowledge that we got doesn't allow us to just close our organization for what. So the closing looked as we failed and we lose, but we don't failed as loser, if it's a correct word. So we are still fighting with this system and with this situation. And to be honest, through these 1.5 months, it seems like we have bright scenes and we have some hope that we can go through this together. And it's not the time for closing up and to surrender, to give up.
What would be your message to the United States and other allies like Latvia, for example?
We are continue our work regardless all of these things now happened, regardless the full-scale invasion, and trying to help our people. And we can't give up because Ukraine is not aggressor. And while the war is going on, the more people could be signed, could be killed, or could become the disabled persons. And the main point is that you need to continue to support Ukraine and ask Russia to stop fighting and attacking Ukraine.
All right. Thank you so much, Natalia.
Thank you, Dobs.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
Paldies divam par veselām divām šoreiz intervijām, gan ar Timūru Pistrijuhu, gan Natāliju Voliku. Uzreiz atgādināšu, ka tiem, kuriem labpatīk arī lasīt, ne tikai klausīties, noteikti pēc tam arī sabiedrisko mediju portālā lsm.lv var meklēt tātad nedēļas nogalē šīs te intervijas apkopotas. Vienu vietu ar šiem cilvēkiem noteikti varat arī to pārlasīt. Jā, nu, noklausoties intervijas, protams, ir nožēli par to, ka amerikāņi pieņem dažādus šādus lēmumus. Nu, viens ir gan par to, ka bija atcelta gan militārā palīdzība, gan arī šie te izlūga dati, nu vismaz tas ir atgūts, kas, protams, konkrēti skar Ukrainas armiju, bet skaidrs, ka Ukrainas armija nav vienīgā, kas Ukrainā nu, gan cīnās par valsts brīvību un neatkarību, gan arī dara tos, nu varbūt, nesaņa tā, mēs varam iekāršot ikdienišķākos darbus, un viens no tiem ir kaut vai atmīnēšana, jo skaidrs, ka jo mazāk teritorijas tiek atmīnēta, jo lielāku draudu cilvēkiem tas rada, un ņemot vērā, cik milzīgs ir tas piesārņojums šobrīd, tad arī, nu, šķiet, ja amerikāņi tur atvēlētu miljardus vairākus ukraiņiem šim nolūkam gada ietvaros, nu, pat tad tas prasītu vēl daudzus gadus, lai to visu teritoriju sakoptu, bet ja naudas šobrīd nav vispār no amerikāņiem tam, viņi dod tomēr diezgan lielu daļu šajā visā, nu, tad problēmas ir acīm redzamas. Nu, vien jācer, ka turpinājumā vēl netiks no Amerikas puses pieņemt kādu lēmumu, kas tādā vai citādā veidā sabotēs kaut kādas ukraiņu organizāciju, piemēram, spējas risināt dažādas problēmas valstī. Nu, vismaz pēc pēdējiem notikumiem šķiet, ka Trumps, laikam, būs vismaz nedaudz pierimis šajā ziņā.
Te, protams, var skatīties dažādu šo situāciju. No vienas puses, gan jau, ka var saprast arī cilvēks, kur saka, nu, paga, jūs vienkārši esat izlaidušies un pieraduši pie tā, ka ASV atbalsta visu un met naudu bez mazai pakaļ. Cilvēki ir atslābuši un gaida tikai ASV palīdzību. Nu, līdzīgi tā var teikt arī par Eiropas drošību, ka Eiropas līderi bija pēdējās 10 gadēs nedaudz atspringuši un domāju, ka vienmēr Amerika visu noseks. Šajā gadījumā, redz, mēs, protams, runājam par tādām programmām, kas tiešām ir tieši saistītas ar cilvēku dzīvību, veselību, izdzīvošanu. Trumps teica, ka, kā tur bija tā definīcija, ja tās būs tur dzīvību glābjošas programmas un ASV interesēs, tad tās izdzīvos. Nu, atgādināšu vēlreiz ar abiem šīs nedēļas interviju viesiem runāju par šo tēmu, vai nav kādi jaunumi, vai viņu organizācijas ir tās, kuras turpinās saņemt palīdzību vai nē. Nav skaidrs tas šobrīd, bet pēc sarunām ar šiem cilvēkiem tapu visai skaidrs, ka tās tiešām ir organizācijas, kas dara svētīgu darbu. Bet, nu, protams, ka ASV nav pienākums atbalstīt visu pasauli. Vienīgais tas, kas būtu droši vien bijis korekti un ko pieminēja arī viens no mūsu viesiem, ka, nu, vismaz pabrīdināt, kad mēnesis, divus mēnešus iepriekš varēja, jo tiešām te varbūt cilvēki, nu, nedzīvos uz naudas maisiem un kaut kā tas darbs ir jāorganizē. Katrā ziņā, ja jums šķiet svarīgs šī sarunas, ko nu pat dzirdējāt, padalieties ar saviem radiem draugiem paziņām, ar citiem cilvēkiem, kurus interesē, kā ASV palīdzības apturēšana izskatās tur, no otras puses, no Ukrainas. Un droši arī izsakiet savus viedokļus mūsu e-pastā, drošinātājs at Latvijas Radio LV, un sociālajos tīklos rakstot, izmantojiet Mierkļu Birku drošinātājs. Tas šai reizei arī viss laikam, Richard.
Jā, tiekamies jau pēc nedēļas, kad būsim klāt ar jaunu analīzi un arī jaunu interviju, divos vārdos pasakot par ko, par vatņiku zupu runāsim nākamnedēļ.
O, kas tas tāds?
Es neko vairāk nevēlu. Par kulināriju mēs nerunāsim. Okay. Tas nav saistīts ar kulināriju.
Labi.
Tas ir saistīts ar dezinformāciju, varbūt, ja to tā varētu nosaukt vienā vārdā. Varbūt.
Vai tu man šobrīd dezinformē?
Nē, nekādā gadījumā. Viss ir tieši tā, kā es to pateicu.
Okay. Brīnišķīgi. Drošinātājs nemēģina jūs dezinformēt. Drošinātājs ir tāpēc, lai mēs labāk saprastu gan pasaules ziņu virsrakstus, gan to, kāda ir dzīve Ukrainā no reāla Ukraiņa skatu punkta. Tas šai reizē viss. Paldies, ka bijāt kopā ar mums. Tiekamies pēc nedēļas vai arī pēc dažām sekundēm. Ja šo klausāties kaut kad vairākas nedēļas vēlāk, tad vienkārši spiediet uz nākamo epizodi. Un tiekamies jau tur. Paldies! Raidieraksts drošinātājs.